Now, as many sperm whales have been captured off the western coast of Java in the near vicinity of the Straits of Sunda. Indeed, as most of the ground round about was generally recognized by the fishermen as an excellent spot for cruising, therefore, as the Pequod gained more and more upon Java Head, the lookouts were repeatedly hailed and admonished to keep wide awake. But though the green palmy cliffs of the land soon loomed on the starboard bow, and with delighted nostrils the fresh cinnamon was snuffed in the air, yet not a single jet was descried. Almost renouncing all thought of falling in with any game hereabouts, the ship had well nigh entered the straits when the customary cheering cry was heard from aloft, and ere long a spectacle of singular magnificence saluted us. But here be it premised that owing to the unwearied activity with which of late they have been hunted over all four oceans, the sperm whales, instead of almost invariably sailing in small detached companies, as in former times, are now frequently met with in extensive herds, sometimes embracing so great a multitude that it would almost seem as if numerous nations of them had sworn solemn league and covenant for mutual assistance and protection. To this aggregation of the sperm whale into such immense caravans may be imputed the circumstance that even in the best cruising grounds you may now sometimes sail for weeks and months together without being greeted by a single spout, and then be suddenly saluted by what sometimes seem thousands on thousands. Broad on both bows, at the distance of some 2 or 3 miles, and forming a great semicircle, embracing one half of the level horizon, a continuous chain of whale jets were upplaying and sparkling in the noonday air. Seen from the Pequod's deck, then, as she would rise on a high hill of the sea, this host of vapory spouts, individually curling up into the air, and beheld through a blending atmosphere of bluish haze, showed like the thousand cheerful chimneys of some dense metropolis, descried of a balmy autumnal morning by some horseman on a height. Crowding all sail, the Pequod pressed after them, the harpooners handling their weapons and loudly cheering from the heads of their yet suspended boats. If the wind only held, little doubt had they that chased through these straits of Sunda, the vast host would only deploy into the Oriental seas to witness the capture of not a few of their number. And who could tell whether, in that congregated caravan, Moby Dick himself might not temporarily be swimming, like the worshipped white elephant in the coronation procession of the Siamese. So, with stunsail piled on stunsail, we sailed along, driving these leviathans before us, when of a sudden the voice of Tashtego was heard, loudly directing attention to something in our wake. Corresponding to the crescent in our van, we beheld another in our rear. It seemed formed of detached white vapors, rising and falling, something like the spouts of the whales, only they did not so completely come and go, for they constantly hovered without finally disappearing. Leveling his glass at this sight, Ahab quickly revolved in his pivot hole, crying,
"Aloft there, and rig whips and buckets to wet the sails! Malays, sir, and after us!"
As if too long lurking behind the headlands, till the Pequod should fairly have entered the straits, these rascally Asiatics were now in hot pursuit to make up for their overcautious delay. But when the swift Pequod, with a fresh leading wind, was herself in hot chase, how very kind of these tawny philanthropists to assist in speeding her on to her own chosen pursuit. Mere riding whips and rowels to her they were. As with glass under arm, Ahab to and fro paced the deck, in his forward turn beholding the monsters he chased, and in the after one the bloodthirsty pirates chasing him. And when he glanced upon the green walls of the watery defile in which the ship was then sailing, and bethought him, and through that gate lay the route to his vengeance, and beheld how through that same gate he was now both chasing and being chased to his deadly end. And not only that, but a herd of remorseless wild pirates and inhuman atheistical devils were infernally cheering him on in their curses. When all these conceits had passed through his brain, Ahab's brow was left gaunt and ribbed, like the black sand beach after some stormy tide had been gnawing it, without being able to drag the firm thing from its place. But thoughts like these troubled very few of the reckless crew, And when, after steadily dropping and dropping the pirates astern, the Pequod at last shot by the vivid green cockatoo point on the Sumatra side, emerging at last upon the broad waters beyond, then the harpooners seemed more to grieve that the swift whales had been gaining upon the ship than to rejoice that the ship had so victoriously gained upon the Malays. But still driving on in the wake of the whales, at length they seemed abating their speed. Gradually the ship neared them, and the wind now dying away, word was passed to spring to the boats. But no sooner did the herd, by some presumed wonderful instinct of the sperm whale, become notified of the three keels that were after them, though as yet a mile in their rear, than they rallied again, and forming in close ranks and battalions, so that their spouts all looked like flashing lines of stacked bayonets, moved on with redoubled velocity.